Today's episode is sponsored by Foot Cardigan, all right? They deliver socks to your door, and there's plenty of reasons for that. You can repeatedly remind your closest friend or worst enemy how amazing you are by getting them a monthly subscription. You can also send yourself the same lovely reminder. Guys, we have feet. We use them every day. Why not put socks on them? And you can get 10% off any Foot Cardigan subscription by going to footcardigan.com, entering in the keyword feet, F-E-E-T, three, feet three. That's feet three with the number three at checkout. And your life will be changed forever. Well, I don't know about that, but at least you'll have socks on your feet and people will be like, oh shit, man, nice socks. And be like, yeah, Foot Cardigan. And you punch them in the face. Footcardigan.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images, Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. Try Squarespace with a free trial at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. I mean, within reason. You know, you couldn't like go to Mars without like some training. Hey everybody, before we start the show, wanted to let you guys know that we are doing live shows in Los Angeles on April 4th at Largo. At 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., the 8 p.m. show is already sold out, but there are still tickets for the 10 p.m. show. What movies are we doing? At 8 p.m., we're doing the classic Con Air. At 10 p.m., we're doing the even more classic Face Off. Get your tickets today at largo-la.com. Also, for you New Yorkers, what? That's right. We're doing a show in New York on May 16th. It's a Saturday at the Gramercy Theater. Tickets will become available, if not now, very soon. So follow us on Twitter and on Facebook to find out information about that. Today's episode is a live episode. So if you have any complaints about sound quality or maybe the clips are too visual, I don't care. Shut up. Don't tell me anything about them. No, we love your complaints. Please don't ever tell them to us. Okay, here we go. Finally, a movie that shows the dangers of Alzheimer's research. We saw Deep Blue Sea, so you know what that means. Remix!
How did Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow. And take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
All right, everybody. Welcome to How Did This Get Made? Hello, people of Earth, and hello, people of Largo. We have a very special and exciting show for you tonight. We saw the film Deep Blue Sea, and we are here in front of a live audience in Los Angeles. And let me introduce my co-host right now. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up, jerks?
Very sadly, June Diane Raphael cannot be here tonight. Aww. But we have, in her place, a How Did This Get Made all-star. Please welcome Paul F. Tompkins! And our very special guest for the evening, please welcome Evan Goldberg! Welcome.
All of our dreams have come true.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Deep Blue Sea. Now, Evan, you said that you have seen this movie how many times?
Now 21. And I know this is all to make fun of shit, but it's the best movie ever.
And I just want to be clear.
All jokes aside, guys.
I just want to be clear. We didn't choose this movie because you love it.
No.
We chose this terrible, terrible movie, asked you to do the podcast, and you were like, wait, what? I love that movie.
I will defend it to the death here on this stage.
I mean, there are things to like about this movie. I mean, I enjoyed this movie on a level.
Do you mean like it's finite running time?
I think it
and
really
the enjoyment that you have watching people that you don't like act then die.
Look, I'm a
if you want to really watch an unlikable cast of characters meet dismal ends.
Yeah.
This movie's for you.
I honestly think this is like Final Destination. They came up with six cool deaths, and then we're like, now we'll make a movie.
I was just going to say that I'm a sucker for a good cook's tale. You know, whenever
this is the original Ratatouille.
Ratatouille, Under Siege, and Deep Blue Sea.
That's right.
Three of my favorite films.
Yeah. Under Siege is another one we might clash on.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that movie is good.
This is essentially like Big Night with Sharks.
Big Night with Sharks. I like that.
All right, so this movie opens up with something I never knew, that sharks are attracted to blood or syrah.
I love the movie, but I'm going to agree with you on that one.
They love blood so much that if something looks like blood, they're like, oh, is that blood?
May I say the first three lines of the movie?
Please, go ahead.
Do you feel anything, says the girl to the guy. It's getting sexual. Right.
It's like a make-out party on a boat, if you haven't watched the movie yet.
And he says...
It's like two couples fingering each other.
He says, oh, I feel something.
Right.
Then turns to his buddy, and his buddy says, we're having a party.
We're just having a party in this obvious tank. It made me so mad how obvious it was that it was a tank.
Well, you are one of Hollywood's most famous experts in tank technology.
That's right. Here's the thing. I have good tank dar. I can always spot a tank. In any water-based movie, I can spot a tank a mile away.
And when you
away.
Do, you are always in a movie theater like, tank!
Yep, absolutely.
Well, absolutely. And that's all because they were originally going to do Truman Show in real life with you, but you spotted the tank right away.
That's right. Yeah. It's like, well, this is a tank.
Well, the other thing about it was, I did think it was just a couple making out on a boat. The reveal that it's a party was weird because they're kind of making out next to a boombox with a stuffed teddy bear on top.
They have to one-up Jaws in every way across the board. So, a couple? No. Swingers.
Yeah.
So, I was like, unlike Jaws, you see the shark in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Full blown. It's like, there's no fucking around. It's like, here it is. Check it out. It's a shark.
In case you're worried, this movie isn't about sharks. It's about fucking sharks.
Don't worry. We will not create suspense. You're going to see motherfucking sharks.
Yeah.
The credits aren't done, ding dong. Who's there? Sharks.
The title Deep Blue Sea, it's not a metaphor for anything. It's like takes place in the ocean. This is a very direct film.
Rennie Harlan is not a subtle filmmaker.
Every time I see a Rennie Harlan movie, there's
which
always
is,
a point,
how often, Paul?
Which is, well, more often than I'd like, Jace.
But please come see our two-man show.
At a certain point, I will always ask myself, how much does English being your second language have to do with...
Ask Paul Verhoeven.
I think if you look at the movie through a lens of this is the polar opposite of an American, it all makes a lot more sense.
The other thing that I thought was weird right off the bat was, you know, there's a shark attack, they get saved by Thomas Jane, and but then they cut immediately to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They're in Los Angeles, and Samuel Jackson's there with Ronnie Cox. Like Ronnie Cox is like. I would say a famous actor. Like, he's in Beverly Hills Cop, RoboCop, movies without the word cop in them.
Ronnie Cox is an actor you would hire for like a five and above part.
Yeah.
He has zero lines.
He has zero lines.
He
zero
sits line. In a chair.
Yeah.
Like a wax statue.
Sometimes that's what the director needs, man.
What I found confusing about that was that, to me, the silent guy in the seat
would seem to me to be the guy with all the power.
Yes.
But Sam Jackson standing behind him appears to be the puppet master. So I couldn't figure out what their dynamic was.
Do you think Ronnie Cox was a literal puppet?
Okay. Now we're getting into something pretty interesting, June.
What speech could Ronnie Cox have had that clearly got cut out of this movie?
That it was attractive enough to him that he took the part.
Yeah, exactly.
He was as long as this scene's in it, I'm in.
This is my Ned Beattian network.
Well, and then they're like, this scene would be impossible to take out. It's what the whole movie's about. And then Renny Harlin is like, this movie's about nothing. Let's take it all out.
I have a slight theory on it, which is originally they offered the cook role to Samuel L. Jackson. He said no. And then they gave him like the boss role. I have a feeling that they just already had hired Ronnie Cox too, and they were like, yeah, you'll be in the scene. You're still there.
you're co-bosses, and you just like command the room with your silent, stony presence.
Ronnie Cox shows up to the premiere of Deep Blue Sea. Oh, I'm really excited. I have a great scene with Saffron.
I gave a speech about corporate greed and science gone rapidly wild.
But this movie, for as much exposition is in this movie, and I would say the first 40 minutes, there's so much that I felt like I was in an SAT reading comprehension thing.
Like, oh, yeah.
What did I miss?
The blonde-haired doctor doesn't say one thing that isn't expositional until minute, 50.
She has an entire walk and talk that is complete voiceover. It's all on her back. It's never... She is... And it is just... It might as well be a cutscene from a video game. She's like, here we are at level 3. Level 3 is all workplace cabins and where you're going to be spending most of your time. Up on level 2 is where you're going to find guns and weapons and stuff. Level 3 has power-ups and an extra life if you can find it.
When the sharks inevitably cut off level 4, you're going to want to go to level 5.
Now let's get out there. You're going to need a sniper rifle.
Well, you don't think it increased your enjoyment of the film when they got to level 3? Like, oh yeah, level 3, good.
Yeah. I knew where we were going, bro.
This is good news for them.
Did you also notice that she casually said it used to be a submarine torpedo loading station for World War II?
Yes.
That's like a throwaway moment.
Yeah,
like,
no, that was in the... It is just rapid fire. It's like every detail that you need to write a book report on whatever it's called, Antarctica or whatever, is in there.
Aquatica, you mean?
Aquatica, yes.
Can we...
It's fucking logical. What else are you going to call it?
Can we go back to just that riveting boardroom scene for a moment where Saffron Burrows is trying to tell them how great it's going to be for Alzheimer's research. And she talks about her father having Alzheimer's.
Oh, it's the best.
And she's trying to shame these dudes.
Because they have shut down her attempt. They're like, we're not going to, the shark escaped. We're cutting this project off.
Yeah. There's clearly no value to it if a shark escapes.
Exactly.
But it's like, there's millions of sharks in the ocean.
And by the way, where are those people having that party on that very small boat? They must have been way the fuck out.
You've lived a sheltered life if you've never gone out into the middle of the ocean and fucked two of your friends.
Hey, how was your double date last night? It was awesome. We got a couple of bottles of red wine. We spent 7 hours in open water.
Brought our lucky teddy bear and our boombox.
We laid anchor. We made out. Shark attack.
Most romantic spot on Earth, the old World War II torpedo loading station.
Tom James showed up. He shot the sharks with trank guns.
And I rewound it a couple times because somebody put this out to me. Like, where is that harpoon hooked to? It looks like his boat is not... like enough to hold back.
No, he's holding it with his muscles.
It's like a 4,000-pound shark, though, right?
He's Thomas fucking
he's
Jane.
Tom Jane, bro.
I think originally he lassoed it.
Yeah,
and they're like, we should probably go with
Thomas
harpoons.
Jane, aka Carter Blake.
Yeah. Carter Blake.
He is a Punisher.
He is.
He's one of the many. Fraternity. So she says. So Saffron Burrows says to these guys. She talks about her dad and his Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And she says, every time he would just like ask where his wife was. And she says, every time I told him she was dead, I had to watch him take that info like a car wreck. Hey, stop telling him that.
That's what I thought. Why? Why is she Groundhog Day-ing him?
Why?
no reason to groundhog.
Don't keep telling him.
Well, this brings up an important point.
Just say, she's out at the store. She's at the store.
Saffron Burrows, who this movie is ostensibly about, is the villain of the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
She's
the worst. She's like a relentless... She's a Terminator in this movie. She's a sociopath. She's like so self-absorbed and crazed. She completely causes the death of every character in this movie.
Absolutely.
She's got to protect her floppy disks, man.
No,
none
you
of
know
that
what? I didn't think they looked that floppy. They look good. Guys, if you're wondering if a woman with a visible camel toe electrocutes a shark in this movie, she does.
I do want to talk about... Well, we're there at this moment. We could go back. We'll go back, obviously. But when she does strip down in that scene, it just seems odd. So she's in water. She pulls like electrical, like a line,
which
out
is
the
like
wall.
Made of fucking steel.
Yes.
And she just yanks it out of the wall like it's nothing.
Well, it's really? About a race of super strong people having to deal with sharks.
She has the strength of a thousand sharks.
Crazy sociopath strength as well.
Oh, right. But they have a lot of adrenaline.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, she takes off her dress and then stands
on
it.
No, her she's standing dress. On her wetsuit because it's insulated.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm never going to fight creatures in the water with you.
All right, sorry, you're right. I didn't realize why it was insulated.
Wait, why did you think she did it, June?
My theory
you were
was,
just like, Harlan, you pervert.
That's the thing. My theory was, oh, you just want to get this girl in her bra and panties. Like, and ladies, I know you like it when you hear the word panties. But I also felt like
and
her feet
because
are still
she'd
in
been
water.
Running around.
Yeah, her like, feet are soaking wet.
Her feet are soaking
no,
wet.
No, water can't
wet.
Jump that much.
Okay.
She's soaking wet. She's sopping wet.
Everything
panties,
in that room is wet.
She has wet, moist panties.
But we could go back to...
Anybody tell me, would that work? If you stood on an insulated wetsuit and put electrical,
we gotta get MythBusters. Do they still do MythBusters?
Ooh, Jamie,
we need you
from
guys.
MythBusters, we need you. Appear.
We do need. We need like a week long. How did this get made? MythBusters. There's so many questions. Can you jump over a fence like Vanilla Ice did in Cool as Ice? We need to know. I'm assuming for Fast 7, we're gonna need to know: can a car come out of a plane, go through a building, go into another building, and then go out of that building?
Can you blow up birthday candles with your mind?
They also go to a way to kind of describe Stellan Skarsgård. They're like, oh, there's Dr. Jim Whitlock. He's pissing in the wind.
Dr. Jim Whitlock.
But he's pissing in the
played
wind.
Played by Stellan Skarsgård.
Hey, Dr. Jim Whitlock.
And
totally American.
I'm from Maine.
He's always a doctor, too. He's always
Here's the exact line. He is Dr. Jim Whitlock, the smartest man alive. He's pissing into the wind. How smart can he be?
And then they don't... So you would think, like, all right... Well, if he pisses into the wind, then he's sort of an eccentric. They don't really ever show that side of him. He just seems to smoke a cigarette oddly.
I also noticed there's a weird through line in the movie where he mentions how they did this, not God, then lights a cigarette and gets his arm bit off by a shark.
Yeah.
And this time, having seen it 21 times, I kept an eye. I think it's a weird religious thing, the movie. Weird thing where it's like, I think it's like an anti-stem cell research film deep down.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like Alzheimer's research. Don't go that way. Just let it go.
It's just like, yo, God wants fucked up shit to happen to those people. Sorry.
At the end.
They're just out of luck. That's nature, dude.
The best example of it is at the end, LL Cool J opens up one eye. It's like, you know, it's the devil, right?
Like, you know, science is the devil.
Yeah, like literally winking at the audience. You know, it's the devil, right?
And it's like, and has a cross on himself that is so big.
But it leads to the best part of the entire movie.
Go for it. Yeah. What is it?
When at a moment where you think he's gonna die, and a shark has grabbed him, and it's near the end, and he's getting spun around, and he's gonna die, and his name in this movie is Preacher, by the way. He grabs his cross and starts stabbing the shark in the fucking face until he stabs it in the eye and gets away.
Now, to this end...
Do we think this shark might have been possessed by a devil?
That was an exorcism scene.
Was it an exorcism?
Shark exorcism with LL Cool J, I'm in.
The power of Christ compels you. That would have been amazing if, like, a demon came out of the shark, and then the shark was like, I'm pretty cool now.
I would not
now
have been surprised.
Just a regular man-eating shark.
Well, to me, the most... Clearly, the most interesting character, or the, I would say not interesting, but the character that has any sort of backstory is LL Cool J. He's maybe a former alcoholic, maybe a former preacher, now a cook, has this bird. Like, what is going on?
His LL Cool J's relationship with that bird made me profoundly sad.
Yeah.
First of all, it was not clear for a while, like, is this his bird or just a bird he is saddled with in life?
I thought that as well.
Who insults him.
Yep. Did anybody think maybe the bird was a figment of his imagination? I mean, is there a bird?
His own insecurities made manifest.
We never see anyone else see and or talk to the bird.
The bird is constantly insulting him.
Yeah.
Fuck you, asshole, bird, you dumb shit.
I'm going to just say this. The bird doesn't fucking exist. That's it. The bird is just like some way in which he's cracked in his head, and the bird is just insulting him all day. And then other people are like, who are you talking to, Peach? And he's like, oh, it's my bird.
You don't see that insulting parrot flying around here? In a kitchen?
Here's a movie fact. Oh. They had to hire one parrot that could insult and another one that could just chill. They needed two different parrots for it. But any question you have about why did this happen, blank LL Cool J in the film... I read online today that they just thought he was such a cool dude that they just were like, we gotta give him more because he's just such a team player.
Absolutely.
To the point where he became the star of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And to that end,
good call.
That originally the hero of the end of the film was to be Saffron Burroughs, but
which is the craziest fucking idea in the world.
Insane.
You know, she ruined Alzheimer's research and killed all her friends.
Yeah, she won. The bad guys win. It's like the shark winning at the end.
Science of this is very confusing because the idea is sharks' brain activity never deteriorates.
Yes.
Which has just been proven untrue this year.
Oh, really?
They can get cancer. They just found out this year.
A Deep Blue Sea exclusive, you guys.
Cancel the sequel. It won't make sense.
So in order to somehow benefit humankind, they stimulate the brains of the creatures that are already not having the problem.
Right.
So rather than extracting something from the sharks and studying it, they're like, let's just make these sharks smarter and see if they'll tell us how they do it. Like, what was the plan?
Here is just so you can hear the sign, because there's not much. Like, this point gets dropped way late in the movie because you just understand that sharks are. They're doing Alzheimer's research with sharks, but they don't explain it until this part of the movie. And take a listen to it.
They are just breaking down doors for the sheer joy of it, aren't they? They're after us.
It's pretty damn obvious. We don't know what they're doing yet.
Just what the hell did you do to those sharks?
Their brains weren't large enough to harvest sufficient amounts of the protein complex. So we violated the Harvard Compact. Jim and I used gene therapies to increase their brain mass. Larger brain means more protein. As a side effect, the sharks got smarter.
Smart sharks!
Look, if your brain gets bigger, you just get smarter.
Well, this is my issue with the whole movie. If these sharks are smarter, then, first of all, my thought was, would they even want to kill so violently?
What do they care?
Yeah.
What are they mad about?
Oh, no, you guys didn't pay attention. They're trying to break structural integrity of the compound so that the fence lowers 4 feet from the 8 feet it's at so that they can jump over the fence.
I understand. Right, but I get that. So... fucking concentrate on that and leave everybody alone.
They need to trick the humans to go to compartment to compartment. So that they flood
the
compartment.
They learned that it needed like 32 tons of water or whatever. Like, how did they even learn that fact? Like,
just bite through the fucking fence! So,
well,
that's what the one guy was doing.
It's made of a flexible titanium material, my friend.
Poor Michael Rapaport in this movie. Michael Rapaport is responsible for, like, there'll be a scene that's like that, which is just nonsense, like jargony, this is what we did, the brain, and this and that.
Yeah.
And then in an effort to be like, I feel like people are like, oh, I don't know if the audience is going to be with us. They have to have Michael Rapaport be like, so she screwed with the sharks, and now the sharks are screwing with us. So
I have no idea.
The dummy, if none of what she said makes sense, because she talks funny, I know. But I'm one of yous, and it means the sharks is coming after us because of this dumb broad. You might as well mug to the camera and be like, I bet I'm going to get eaten. I'm Michael Rapaport.
I was saying that when watching this, I felt like we were on, like, in a Wes Anderson movie without the charm. Like, it's a little ship, and people
it's
are running
Life
around.
Aquatic.
Yeah. But then everyone's a little, like, but I don't understand what he does at all, Michael Rapaport.
Well,
like,
no,
I
don't get he knows statistical facts about shit.
He's
like the numbers guy. Because the woman doctor tells them facts about, like, oh, well, the compound.
Right.
And then there's the doctor who tells you the science. And then he's like, those fences are only 8 feet. That's how I know all the
shit I know. Okay. Yeah.
Because I pay attention to
his
character.
But he also went to Caltech.
For 4 years. For four years at Caltech.
And LL Cool J.
He knows
gave
about
him the,
fences.
Gave him the best physics lesson.
Gave him the Einstein quote.
Theory of Relativity by LL Cool J. I want that as a fucking poster in, like, college dorm rooms.
Yep. It should be. That should be a famous phrase.
And Einstein should lose the credit.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, you mean the frying pan hot woman equation?
I loved that when they successfully extract the brain juice from the shark. The way they're gonna test it, it's so stupid. All they do is like do an eyedropper and they just drop it on some brain tissue.
Yeah.
And it's like bzz, 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 bzz.
And the brain tissue
is
like,
it's working.
And Sam Jackson says, what are we looking for? And she goes, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And then it literally looks like lightning.
Yeah.
They didn't even, there's no metaphor. She literally meant it's going to look like lightning.
I didn't see
lightning
on the screen.
In a bottle has nothing to do with something that you are searching for.
Yes.
You can't just throw in any old expression.
Yeah, my 20 years of research, the answer, lightning
like
in a bottle.
We caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Again, I'm no scientist, but I'm going to say that.
Now, June, are you sure you're not a scientist?
I have a very small science background. A dead brain tissue.
Yeah.
DBT.
I wouldn't imagine it would get affected like that. It's because, like, right?
Oh, you wouldn't, Paul.
You wouldn't.
Well,
major scientist Rennie Harlan says differently.
Ooh, we could do a remake where it also brings humans back to life and we throw zombies in.
Oh, I would love that. Deep Blue Sea 2.
Zombie sharks.
Sure.
Someone's probably done that already.
There's like 90 sequels to this movie, right?
No. Surprisingly, zero.
There's no straight-to-video sequels to this?
No.
That's
well, there
insane.
Is Deep Blue Sea U next Tuesday, which is a pornographic version of this movie.
Right.
It's a lot of shark fucking.
I also...
Let's be honest. Shaving sucks balls, right? Are we on the same page here? Yeah, and it's expensive. And you know what? I just can think of a million reasons why not to do it. But what if someone made it easy? And here's a guy who's making it easy. His name's Harry. Well, I don't actually know if there is a guy named Harry, but it's a service called Harry's. Okay, and basically what Harry's does is they give you amazing razor blades with a fucking kick-ass razor blade holder. I don't know what you call it. A razor blade stick? Anyway, here's the deal. They have great blades, and they're cheap. So why pay $32 for 8-pack of blades when you get Harry's for half the price? We're talking about German-made blades. And we all know how the Germans do. So you get a better shave that respects your skin, your face, your legs, your wallet. So say goodbye to poor quality blades and get talking to Harry. The starter set is an amazing deal. For $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, 3 razor blades, and with the promo code HDTGM, you can get $5 off your first purchase. What an amazing deal! Men, women, we all need razors that don't suck. Go to harrys.com right now, and Harry's will give you $5 off if you type in my coupon HDTGM with your first purchase. That's harrys.com and enter the coupon code HDTGM at checkout for $5 off. Start shaving better today. Okay? You got me? Today's episode is brought to you by Birchbox Man. What the fuck is Birchbox Man? Only a thing that's going to change your life. Women, stop listening. Men, this is for you, okay? Imagine this. Every month, you get this cool as shit box full of stuff that makes you cooler, all right? I mean, it's grooming samples, it's stylish accessories, it's everything that's going to take you to the next level. And this month, Birchbox Man is partnering with the show Mad Men to celebrate the art of workplace style, okay? So what they're going to give you in this box... oh, it's so good. You got W&P whiskey stones, so you don't have to put ice in your drink. You got a Declan pocket square. Nice. Pocket squares are back. Okay, you got all natural body wash because you don't want to smell like Dove anymore, okay? You're not living with your parents. They also have Parlor reworkable hair paste. Now, this is something I don't know much about, but if I had enough hair, I would probably use it because it can make any hairstyle look good without being sticky or shiny. And finally, they got Das Boom, which is just everywhere lotion. It's a scent of bay rum, smoke, and dirt. It's like basically Tom Hardy in Havana. That's what you smell. You smell like a fucking man. All right, so subscribe to Birchbox Man. You'll be the most stylish man in your office, and you'll make the ladies swoon. Ladies, you're still not listening to this, please. So head over to Birchbox.com. Use the promo code GETMADE, that's G-E-T-M-A-D-E, to get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription. That's $10 to spend towards your new favorite products. What are you guys waiting for? You look like shit. Get yourself to look good. Head over to Birchbox.com and use the promo code GETMADE at Birchbox.com.
The sharks are smart, and I know they keep on saying the sharks are smart, but the first person they go after is the cook, which seems like that's... Well, I mean, they go after...
People Skarsgård. Dr. Jim Whitlock.
Because he smoked a cigarette, I swear to you.
He smoked a cigarette
and died right away.
That's science. Cigarettes are science.
And we got to talk about the giant ass Star Trek view screen in the bottom of the sub. This submarine station has more windows than anywhere. It's like, that's not a thing.
His death scene, Stellan Skarsgård, Skarsgård? What is it?
Skarsgård. Yeah. By the way, you'll be happy to know that spell check will correct Stellan Skarsgård to Stellar Skateboard.
Okay. So Stellar Skateboard's death scene is absolutely fantastic because his arm gets bitten off, he gets to be medevaced away.
On the chopper, his arm has been bitten off, right? And then somebody on the fucking chopper goes, he's hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
What? Of course. Yeah. They're
in the chopper. His
arm is also gone. I think that's what's causing it.
He's been de-armed.
And then the minute they showed that winch, I was like, uh-oh, we're going to have winch trouble.
Yeah, that winch looks... oh.
That winch trouble ahead. Anyway,
and
what that
chopper, by the way,
is,
got there in like 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
No other help comes throughout the entire movie.
He falls. He gets close to the thing. And then they're like, uh-oh, the winch breaks, and he's like, and goes underwater, right? So, uh-oh, he's going to die. But no, they've given him portable breathing oxygen in his mouth. So now he has strapped Hannibal Lecter to a gurney. Still breathing. The shark grabs him and just starts swimming him around underwater. And then smashes him into the window in front of all the people who love him.
Yeah. And he's still breathing there because like,
And then
Thomas Jane's like, well, it's too late for him. It's like, no, he's alive and he's got a fucking breathing mask
also,
on.
Also, where are the rest of those breathing masks? I mean, this fucking thing is underwater and there isn't a goddamn asthma inhaler they can use.
They don't.
This is
shocking. They don't need that
over
breathing.
The place.
They would be all rotten with fire extinguishers.
You'd be mad.
They don't have a scuba tank. They don't have jack shit for breathing.
I will.
They don't even have a fucking crazy.
They
straw.
Only use fire extinguishers to help propel them up.
Yes,
right.
But that was a good fucking idea.
That was a good idea.
And it worked.
It worked. But if the fucking sharks are so smart, 4 humans are going up and they go after the fire extinguisher?
Yeah. Who was
that? Come on.
They're smart, but they're still just sharks.
A human made of clouds.
They turn on the fucking oven.
Yeah. To be fair, I think that was an accident.
All right.
But
that scene is amazing where LL Cool J
totally on it.
Accident by applause.
Accident, yeah.
By intentional.
Really?
Can I now?
You think the shark meant? You think the shark conceptually understood?
He
what
wants
a stove
the taco.
Was?
He's been eating. No.
Wait a minute. Wait, shut up.
It was somebody yelled out, it was smart.
Okay, guys.
Well, wouldn't you want to eat a charboiled person instead of these raw people all the time?
Well, it's just going to gas him. If you want to really enjoy it, you got to light
it. The shark doesn't know what a stove is, even if it's smart. It can't process like,
he doesn't know.
This is a stove.
He knows. Wait. But you said the shark can't process. The shark understands that it takes 32 tons of water to sink the thing. If they could understand mathematics.
That's easy. That's like that fence. I need that to be lower. It's like coming upon like a box and being like, I bet this will heat up if I push a button.
I'm gonna go with Jason on this because it's not like there's a window into the kitchen they've been watching to like learn.
There is a window in the kitchen because he looks at it and goes, oh, feeding time.
That's true.
They've been watching him make that cake. Now, but also, what kind of fucking stove can withstand a 4,000-pound shark headbutting it?
Yeah. The shark's abilities to smash things are varied, and I don't know if we were supposed to be able to tell the difference between these goddamn sharks, or we were supposed to know he's smart, he's stronger than the other one, because it takes four tries to go through that boat hull in the beginning, it takes five tries to go through the oven.
That's because you're talking about the Gen 2s.
Right.
The Gen 3 is the mother of the sharks, and it's significantly bigger.
That's the one that's defeated by a table,
Gen
1's right? Towards the end, when Saffron Burrows hides behind a table, and the shark's like, ah.
Yeah, goddamn pine wood.
Sometimes the sharks are like just utterly helpless, and then other times like they might as well be able to like breathe out of water and walk on their hind fins and be like, I'm gonna get you.
On that note, I have a question for you guys. Did you think this would happen, which I did the first time I saw it, that at one point at the end a shark was gonna say like, fuck you? Didn't you think they were gonna talk at some point? Just one line, boom.
Now that you say it, it would have been the best ending of the movie. Yeah. Like if when right before the harpoon went in, he was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, just a big scream with its mouth open.
Shark would have... That would have actually made this movie the best movie ever made.
If the last shot had been like a fourth shark being like, I'm gonna fucking get you. Like a real just like badass shark.
Speaking about the last things in it, it has the last best line to a film ever.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone else catch that line?
I wrote what it is down, it? Too. I can do it with you.
It's your show. You do it.
No. I insist. Set him up for it.
You say Thomas Jane's line, and I'll say.
I remember Thomas Jane. You got.
Oh, this is fun.
That's.
So now these actors are preparing for their roles.
All right, I'm Thomas Jane.
Getting into character.
Are you right about that? That's the line you want to say.
His is just that last word. Mm-hmm.
Oh wait. That's LL.
You're LL. Yes, the first one's LL. You're LL.
Yeah, got it. Okay, ready, guy. Take me back to the ghetto.
Amen.
Cue LL Cool J song and out.
Deepest, bluest.
We're going to talk about that too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wait, no matter what, when you leave here, watch the video.
We're going to watch it.
Oh, we don't even have to leave.
Yeah, we're going
to. I also want to talk about Samuel Jackson's speech about the avalanche.
Oh,
wouldn't that be a good movie?
Do you have that clip?
Oh, do you have that?
I don't have the avalanche clip. I have the famous scene.
Yeah. Okay, but his speech, like they keep alluding to, like, are you the guy that saved all those people in the Alps? And he's like, yep. And then when they're all turning against each other, he gives the best fucking speech that could only occur in a movie whose greatest threat is some sharks, which is that he's seen an even greater threat, which was ice.
He says, you think water moves fast? Try ice.
It moves like it has a mind of its own. No, it doesn't.
It barely moves ever.
Guy, it's ice. It's wildly slow. It is shocking.
It's kind of notorious for just kind of being in one place.
Yep. It was, that made me laugh.
Frozen, if you will.
Yes, frozen.
It's like it's frozen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost to a standstill. Ice.
Moving at, let's say, a glacial pace.
It's almost like it's got a mind of its own.
I want Sam Jackson to make that fucking movie.
By the way,
we should write that. All of us.
I'll start a Google Doc tonight.
So I do everybody feel like... just shout out your email address. Paul will add it.
Yeah, on the count of three, everyone do it.
I also just love the idea that this... The reason why there's only like six people there is because it's the weekend. Yeah. That everyone goes home on the weekend.
I forgot.
As a filmmaker, you know that was a budgetary issue.
Oh, 100%.
To like party music. Everybody like gets on a boat and what's her name?
Janice Soprano.
John Turturro. Aisha Turturro puts on music and everybody's like, we're dancing out of here. We're leaving the crazy boat.
One of the people in that scene is Rennie Harlan. And if you go back, I tried to pull this clip, but I couldn't get it. I would say this is all he does. He walks, just walks by. Right? That's as simple. Just does like a 5 feet walk.
That's his Hitchcockian cameo?
He had to do it 20 times. On the DVD commentary, he said I had to do it over 20 times because I couldn't get it right. And he said that people told him that he should definitely stay behind the camera.
He
is just crossing frame. He doesn't have a line. He crosses.
Was he like walking into the lens? What was he doing?
You've done that?
I've tried to put myself in some of our movies with a little walk off, and everyone's just like, you fucked it up, dude.
What is it? The pressure gets to you?
No, cinematographer's fault. Definitely not my fucking fault.
But was like Rennie Harlan walking into the frame and then looking at the camera and saying, I'm Rennie Harlan. Cut. Did I get it?
I don't believe me. I don't believe anything I'm doing.
He keeps saying cut right before he's out of frame.
And cut, I did it. What? No? Yo, okay.
I got a random mind-blowing fact.
Yes.
So as I was watching the movie for the 21st time, there's a scene where the glass breaks when Stellan Skarsgård's body is thrown at it and the water pours in. And as I was watching it, knowing what I do about filmmaking, I was like, that's just Thomas Jane in that incredibly unsafe stunt. Right. And I looked it up, and it's all of them, and it was a mistake. And they literally fucked up and almost killed every single actor in the movie. And that was real, and they accidentally did it before the stunt guys.
Three tons of water.
Yeah, and they almost killed everyone.
What the fuck are you telling me?
That shot where the water pours in, it's all the real actors, it's a mistake, and they actually are running for their lives.
They accidentally dumped three tons of water.
Can you imagine being the family member of someone that was killed in that dumb goddamn movie? Like, if you're Thomas Jane's grandma, you're like, oh, my grandson was an actor.
He was in Boogie Nights.
And they wouldn't be able to Fast and Furious 7 it. It just wouldn't come out.
Exactly.
It'd be over.
Yeah, right.
He was a Punisher.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I know, it's sad.
I mean, no disrespect. I'm
sorry.
A massive fan.
Thank God they
were
able
soon,
to fix
guys?
It.
Too soon? Get it together.
He'd be happy his movie got finished, and I'm going to be happy when it comes out.
Absolutely.
So there.
The one thing I will say, this movie seemed like plagued by mistakes like that. The other thing was the set got infested by crickets.
What?
So the entire movie is pretty much all ADR because they couldn't knock out the cricket noise.
That explains so fucking much.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah. The set was infested by crickets. They couldn't figure out how to kill the crickets. So that happened.
Can you imagine just doing that day after day while there's constant cricket noise, knowing in your mind, I'm going to have to do all of this again because there's no way this cricket... I feel like everybody must have lost their mind.
We had one cricket on the set of the short that became This Is the End for one day, and we all, like, fucking lost our shit. It was a fucking nightmare. Like, there'd be a great moment to be like, and then I said to him, and just like the fucking, and it was like the cricket was, like, waiting to fuck with us.
They're the
Did
devil.
Did you try and just hire the cricket? Sometimes people are noisy and make a lot of noise and be assholes because they just want to be paid off.
Right.
In hindsight, we should have just been like, there's crickets
in the house. Crickets in the movie.
Just one ADR line of those damn crickets would have fixed everything.
Why didn't you get 10 seconds of cricket tone and just have that under the whole movie? Yeah,
Silence for Cricket. And that's a wrap on cricket.
Just another fact of the fucked up production. You know, they created these robot sharks out of machine parts from a 747. These giant sharks.
Which they didn't have to do.
No, not at all. And one of them went crazy and shot through the roof.
And it said it like smashed the rafters, like broke through the foundational like supports.
Wait a minute. Did they put a 747 engine in the shark?
Well,
how did it shoot through the roof of the set?
No, I read this that after this movie was done, like three out of the sharks are now being used on Southwest. As planes, you have to board a shark.
Just.
And you can fly inside the shark's body.
Just some facts about the remote-controlled sharks. Had 1,000 HP engines, weighed 8,000 pounds, and could swim up to 30 miles per hour.
Why?
Because realism was key.
I read why he did it, and he said that in order to beat Jaws, he needed to feel slow motion.
By the way, mission not accomplished.
He said he wanted it to be subtle and smooth and then powerful.
He didn't even beat Jaws 4.
He did do an homage to Jaws where the first shark dies in the way that Jaws dies in Jaws 1, and then the second shark dies the same way in Jaws 2.
There were like 40 Jaws homages in this movie.
They play pretty much the Jaws theme at the top.
On set, they would all just be like, fuck, Jaws is great.
The license plate's the same license plate.
Yeah.
Which also makes me go like, let's go back into what happened to that driver, man. That driver's always dropping his car in the fucking water.
This movie had a lot of like action set pieces, like tension-filled moments, and then just bold-faced comedy beats. Like my favorite of them is LL Cool J is like waist-deep in water, and he's like, and there's a shark, and blah, blah, and he's like, he gets away, kind of, and then there's a Playboy floating by. Wait a minute, what's this? And he looks at it, he opens up to the centerfold, and he's like, ooh, goddamn, I hope I get out of this.
Well,
I gotta fuck the broad in this magazine.
I think that brings us back to the weird Christian thing going on, a religious thing, in that he's having a conversation with God throughout it, where he rejects porno, rejects liquor, and then saves the day in the end and thanks the Lord.
Yeah.
It's like super bizarre.
And then sings a song.
And then sings one of the best songs ever written.
Well,
with the obvious lyrics, my hat is like a shark's fin.
It's my favorite rap told from the point of view of a shark.
Well, by the way, LL Cool J had to kind of compete with Will Smith because Will Smith is known for doing like the Jaws of post-credit sequenced theme songs or whatever, Wild Wild West, Men in Black. I think he brought the heat. I think he won
that.
100%, hands down.
There's a fucked up moment I would like to bring up.
Please.
When the blonde-haired doctor gets bit on her crotch.
Yes!
Can we talk about how unfathomably fucked up that is?
It was
like China shark.
I thought about it. Like, the teeth, like,
oh,
it's her crotch.
No, she is getting eaten out by this shark.
He's smart.
I'm so glad
he's
you all
smart,
reacted.
And he likes now, going down on ladies.
Let me explain. I don't know what that is, but I've heard the term. Did I use it right? No, the shark is 100% going down on Jan. And it's got her up and out of the water like it's
name?
A party, like it's a SeaWorld
show.
Dr. Janice Higgin.
Da 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 da. And it's just like.
And they have like a real money shot where it goes slow motion so you really. Yeah. They should have pushed in just so we really got home.
And she should have enjoyed it more.
Another confusing thing about this movie is sometimes the sharks really take their sweet ass time, like when they're eating out some girl, or sometimes it's like, whoosh, blah, blah. Like it's like, whoa, wait, that person
Well,
just
sometimes
got
they're just hungry and they want to snarf something down. That's when they're like, ooh, I just want to snack on a Michael Rappaport.
We've all been there.
It's like, look, I keep a bag of almonds in the glove compartment just in case stuck in traffic.
I'm just going to snack on this Rappaport. Yeah. Let me unwrap this Rappaport.
Here's a When it came to the casting of the film, do you guys feel like they wrote names on ping pong balls, put them in a bingo spinner, and we're just like, whoa, fucking Stellan Skarsgård's gonna be in this movie? Fucking crazy. Like, I swear that's how they did this.
Like a movie lottery, every actor in Hollywood.
And you have to say yes to whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an awesome movie.
They call the agent, he has to call Sam Jackson. He's like, you got picked, man.
It's like the Hunger Games for movies. Yeah, you gotta be in this Rennie Harley.
It's like, I don't think it's good for your career either, but it's happening.
The script, I'll be honest, the script is bad and they've just hired Rennie Harlan. So, you
Look,
know what that means.
The script
means.
Is not that bad, even though there are 8 credited writers on the first draft. It's not, we really feel like we got something.
Ooh, and we've secured 6 boxes of crickets.
Oh, one of the, you know, obviously we talked about how, you know, they changed the ending that LL Cool J saves the day. And what's so funny about that at the end, too, is that his friend is the bird, right? You know, so like.
It's his only friend in the world.
Exactly.
Well, he's like a pariah. He's the chef. He's like, I was like, it's unfortunate to make the, like, oh, I guess Sam Jackson is another black character who's powerful, but the only black guy in the crew is like Isaac the chef on the Love Boat.
That's to be a counterpoint to how he becomes the star and saves the day.
But that's all
it is. The most progressive film for black actors ever made.
Well, but you know what?
Whoa! Quote me on that.
But purely by accident. As Rennie Harlan said after they saw the screening, he goes, yeah, after they saw that Saffron Burrow saved the day, he goes, well, in their mind, she was the bad guy. And I remember all of us sitting down and going, holy shit, we're in trouble. How do we fix this? It was my idea. I said, well, what if she dies? And LL Cool J is the hero. Everyone likes him.
And yo, he was right.
And, it's a pretty straightforward like filmmaking.
When he saves the day, so when LL Cool J kills his shark, he's like, that's from a bird. And then at the end, when he saves the day, he's already said the bird line. So he goes, that's for Scoggins. But he has no relationship with Scoggins.
But I also forgot who Scoggins
Wait,
was.
Who's Scoggins?
Rappaport.
Is that Stellan Skarsgård?
No, Michael Rappaport.
Rappaport.
Michael Rappaport. But like,
he needed
you know
some
what?
Vengeance on
that's
his
That's a real fuck you to Jam.
Yeah.
You know, like, why not? That's for everybody.
It's a fuck you to Jan. It's a fuck you to Stellar Skateboard.
Yep. Guys, get
it's
it
a
out
fuck
there.
You to Ronnie Cox.
I expect to leave the second show tonight and for Stellan Skarsgård's Wikipedia page to read Stellar Skateboard. Okay?
But and like, everyone must check it every day. So when he changes it back, you got to change it back.
But for like a week.
Yes, be
Don't
responsible
be ticks about it.
And make it like sometimes credited as Stellar Skateboard.
Also known as Stellar Skateboard. That's it. Don't change his name. Just list it as an alias.
AKA. Wait,
or don't. We shouldn't be saying people do this.
No. No.
Why
not?
Want
it's
you to
fun.
Do it.
It's
don't
fun.
Do it.
It's fun. Another little fact from the movie that I just bring up was that there's a lot of feet shot. It's feet running around doing stuff.
Well, Quentin Tarantino had a credit on this.
Gross.
Rennie Harlan goes, gross. Yeah, some people say I have a foot fetish.
Some people say.
And he goes, yeah, I guess.
So many of the women whose
like
feet
all
I suck on say
like
I have a foot
Gina
fetish.
Davis, my ex-wife.
All these people in my mirror.
And he goes, he's looking at my work. There are a lot of close-ups of people's feet. I don't know why I find it interesting. Little feet doing their little things. And when you watch the movie with that lens, when Saffron Burrows is going back to her waterlogged room, they cut to her feet a lot.
Oh, yeah. And in the scene where she's on top of the table, too, it keeps cutting back to her little feet, like beeping.
There's the scene right before she takes off the wetsuit and the shark comes into that room. She like backs away, and then she's not sure where the shark goes. So she gets up on this table where her feet are still underwater, but she's... Like, she's just on a table, like, she's seen a mouse in a Tom and Jerry cartoon. That's not helping
anything. Sharks can smash through, like, steel doors.
Yeah.
She's standing on, like, a work desk.
Yeah.
It's a good work desk.
Built to last. It's not IKEA bullshit.
Wait, do you have Sam Jackson's death scene?
Of course. I mean, the best.
Because this is pretty spectacular.
No matter what anyone thinks about this film, this is one of the greatest scenes in cinema history.
100%. And
what if one of the things I think about this film is that it is not?
Then you and I have a problem,
I
sir.
I was genuinely pleasantly surprised by this beat.
Well, this is like, did you not ever see this before?
No, I'd never seen this
and
movie.
And you didn't know this happened?
No, not at all.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, no, not, I had no idea, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I saw this in the theater when it came out, and seeing it by yourself at home is a much different experience. And it was like the production of my house was plagued with a box of crickets.
All right, here we go. Classic scene.
One of the greatest scenes in cinema history, according to some.
Nature can be lethal. But it doesn't hold a candle to man. Now you've seen how bad things can get and how quick they can get that way. Well, they can get a whole lot worse. So we're not going to fight anymore. We're going to pull together and we're going to find a way to get out of here. First, we're going to seal off this room.
I gotta say, the first time I saw this movie, my immediate thought when that happened is, how is he gonna get out of this? I genuinely thought he was gonna get out of it somehow.
There's a great thing on the DVD commentary of this. Samuel Jackson does the commentary, but as soon as he gets killed, he leaves. He's like, all right, bye, I'm out. He literally goes,
wow.
Somebody else, this is a, check this out too.
Wait. Did he say anything about fucking Ronnie Cox in the boardroom scene?
Say it was
just
electric.
Like, he's my cousin.
He's the best. The best. This is also the idea of like some of these are really sexy, wetsuits,
yeah.
And some are not, like this one, the sleeveless. These normal, but then she's got like a deep V. Why would you ever need a deep V in a wetsuit?
Is that the zipper? Is that the zipper open?
Maybe. Yeah, but why does her zipper in the front and nobody else?
Yeah.
Does? Why? Yes.
It's a good
the good question.
Question
is, why is there such variety of wetsuits?
Yeah,
right.
It's not like
they spent all their money on that and had nothing left for the air masks.
Did everyone bring their own wetsuit from
Custom
home?
Wetsuit. Yeah, that might be it.
She has a bespoke wetsuit,
a Savile Row wetsuit.
Yeah.
Taking a break in the middle of the show right here to tell you that here's the thing. Everyone has a website. Everyone has a social media presence. Everyone is on the web. Why aren't you? Because it's too time intensive. It's too confusing. I don't know how to do HTML. Well, guess what? Squarespace is here to save you, okay? I love Squarespace. I actually designed my brand new website with Squarespace. You can go to paulshear.com. You can check it out. Or you don't. I don't care. Squarespace is amazing. And Squarespace 7 makes it so easy. Literally, you can drag and drop videos. You can make pages. I felt like a fucking genius putting this thing together, okay? They got newly designed interfaces, 15 new templates, which I chose one of. It integrates with Google Apps. You can also get Getty images in there. So, yeah. I mean, sometimes you don't even know why you need a Getty image, and then you get one, you're like, oh, fucking cool. 24/7 support, which I used, okay? Responsive design. You get commerce. Every website comes with a free online store, and it's only $8 a month. So you start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, to get 10% off your first purchase. And you can show your support for our show when you do that. We thank Squarespace for supporting our show. And we thank you guys for listening. So, a lot of thanking going on. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. Except to my mom's bedroom, that's creepy.
Let's get into the crowd, because I'm sure you guys have some questions that are worthy of... I'm going to give you guys some stuff. You have good questions, I'll give you some stuff. Let's see. All right. Oh, right here, large in charge, right in front. Okay, what do we got? All right. Well, not large. You went right here. All right, what's your name... What would you call this movie? And then what's your question? Wow, you have notes. Look at these notes. Good notes. All right, here we go.
So my name's Whitney. I would call the movie Jurassic Park.
Ooh. Very good, very good.
And I like that.
I'm I had to follow through with you because the religious theme was very strong throughout. And
oh, I'm so fucking stupid. It took 21 times for me to fucking realize it. I was just like, these deaths are rad until this one.
There was also a scene in the beginning before he even smokes the cigarette that she gives him this ridiculous facial expression. She's like, the marine biologist, right? So then, can we talk about the hip-hop prayer at the end with LL Cool J?
I do have that. We can listen to it.
I end every fucking night with a hip-hop prayer ever since I saw this movie. Me and my wife get together. She does the beat. I do the words.
let's play the hip-hop prayer. Just sure. Why not?
Why not indeed?
Okay. Cool J puts out his hands.
Who wouldn't want to die like this?
Today, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because I carry a big stick, and I'm the meanest motherfucker in the valley. Two sharks down, Lord. One demon fish to go. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you. Come on, let God hear you. Give me an amen. Amen.
Amen.
Like, if you were on your deathbed and he came in and held your hand and that happened,
you would come back from the dead.
Probably.
It was so impressive, but in contrast to his like video that he made at the end where he was like,
His will.
Yeah.
God also wants him to get with a lot of hot girls.
Did you get your full question out?
I did.
Okay, great. Well, I'm gonna give you this, The Room, The Definitive Guide. Someone gave that to us.
And I want to tell you one quote from the movie on your topic, which is the Stellan Skarsgård character says, someone says to him, what in God's creation? He goes, not his, ours.
No one seemed like they wanted to be doing this science project.
Yeah.
Like
no one was on board with it.
Yeah.
Except Hafford Burroughs.
They really
hated her.
All right, here we go. What's your name, the title of the movie that you would have, and your question?
My name is Daphne.
I was just going to the bathroom. Please get out of my way.
My title would be Jawsheimers.
Whoa, great.
So my question is, what would you think about if the scientist, Saffron, British lady.
Fucking Brits.
She was giving herself the Alzheimer's medication, wanting her brain to grow big, but it made her evil. And then she commanded the sharks to kill everybody.
Wait, you think that might have happened in the movie, Jim?
That would have been a better... If she was telepathically controlling them...
Jim, get out of the audience and get on stage.
I'm going to give you a very special How Did This Get Made June sticker for that question.
For best June question of the night, Daphne.
Jason's right. June dar is out of control tonight.
I really miss
June.
June
is controlling her from her compound in Florida, shooting questions to us. All right. Yes, sir. Your name, your title, and your question.
My name is Sammy. Title would be Planet of the Sharks. My question is,
just Earth, really.
It's true. There's lots of sharks.
We acknowledge Earth. That Michael Rapaport went to college at Caltech for 4 years, and he is also the same one who, when asked how big the fences were, he said 8 feet, give or take 1 centimeter, which I had a huge problem with that piece of dialogue, because not only does it conflict with imperial and metrics, it's just, why would it matter if it was a centimeter or not higher? And that was my big issue.
See, you got into the science of it. I don't know much about metrics. I'm going to give you a sticker for that question. All right, I'll have to dig one out. I'll come back to you. You'll get a sticker. All right, anyone else have a question over here? I'm going to go over on the other side. Make it fair. Okay. Guys, you guys are bringing the heat with these questions. All right, here we go. Sir, what's your question?
Well, first of all, Dustin.
Dustin, yes. Oh, sorry.
give him his fucking time on the mic.
I am sorry. Whoa. Dustin, I'm sorry!
Paul, are you going to take that? Hey, guy.
Get him out of here. Get him the fuck out of here.
Hey, guy.
We didn't ask your goddamn name. We asked what's your question. Don't get cocky.
All right, Dustin. What's your name? Who would you have cast as the lead of this film if you could cast anyone? And what's your question?
Ooh, the lead?
The lead. The Thomas Jane role.
I mean, the supporting roles I've certainly filled out in my mind.
I would have cast Barry Pepper in the Michael Rapaport role because I like the chemistry.
You want to recreate the HBO Yankees movie with Barry Pepper?
You're a real pepperhead, aren't you?
All right, what's your question?
My question, of course, is how did you guys miss the cold open nip slip for the
Oh, wait, are you Mr. Skin? Bikini? Are you Mr. Skin?
Mr. Justin Skin?
Clear nip slip. In the
Who's nip slip?
I don't see the nip slip.
If you were watching the women, you weren't paying attention.
Lady in the pink bikini.
Is that what's written on your paper?
It's a clear...
Nip slip. And then like a dry...
He wrote, yeah. He goes...
In red marker.
Right here it says, pee slip, pink bikini.
And then like...
Oh, nip slip. Okay, got it.
An areola is drawn in his pink.
I feel like he's pulling us into a sexual fantasy right now where he gets to say something from
us. I'm on board.
Well, we'll go back and watch it. We'll be intent to check out a nip slip.
Who's Nip?
The pink bikini girl. The pink bikini. All right, sir, your name, and who would you cast as the lead of the movie? And you can't use Barry Pepper.
Oh, and also, who do you think the lead of the movie is currently? Because I would like to know.
The shark, right? He's on the poster.
My name is Hector. I think maybe Ice-T instead of LL Cool J. Why not?
Wait, as the lead?
Decent idea.
LL Cool J is the lead, right?
All right. So you want to replace LL Cool J? You want to take the most interesting character out and okay? All right. Interesting call.
Hey, that bird better shut up. You better shut up,
that's
bird.
That's a real
Ice-T and Coco.
Ice-T is here.
I don't like this bird. What he's saying to me? Shut up, bird. What a rude bird.
I was just wondering if anyone had made the connection between Michael Rapaport's name and the fact that he gets torn apart and that you could call him Michael Ripped Apart.
Very good pun work.
Boo!
I'm going to take a sticker. I'm taking a sticker
no
back
sticker
from someone.
For you.
I'm taking a sticker back. All right. Sir, your name...
You treat your audience like children in a preschool.
Well, if they're going to act like it.
Your name, your lead of the movie, and and your question.
Yeah, my name's Adam. I would replace Tom Jane with John Travolta.
Ooh.
Dope idea.
I'm into that.
I'm absolutely on board 100%.
Yes.
And
I feel like Kurt Russell
definitely. Let's throw Barry Pepper in. For what's his name, and we've got a Battlefield Earth sequel.
I was wondering if anyone noticed the scene where they put the shark brain goo onto the human brain.
The lightning in a bottle scene.
Yes. Stellan Skarsgård.
Stellar skateboard.
As soon as Stellar skateboard. As soon as he they see the blinking light, it's a success. He plants this deep kiss on the blonde doctor.
Jen,
oh,
no,
out
they,
of nowhere, and it's just like...
No, they were fucking. It was an undertow.
Oh, I didn't,
she was very,
involved.
Very mad at the other girl for getting her boyfriend murdered.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like a subplot.
She doesn't like his smoking. Look, when you're on a disused torpedo loading station from the Second World War...
Which
you're gonna,
not a lot of people know. You do that a lot.
Yeah. There's hookups that are going to occur.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I assumed everyone on that was having sex with everyone.
Right?
I'm going to give
but
you
But mostly with Stellar Skateboard.
I gave him a wet blood fart sticker. All right, from one of our... Let's see.
It's such a good one.
You.
Who can tell me what episode that's from?
Justin.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go.
You fucking
your name,
nerds.
Your name, your title of the film, and your question.
I'm Maddie. My title would be Jurassic Shark.
Nice.
Yeah, and my question is...
What was hers? It was like, similar, right?
Jaw-rassic.
Joe?
And my question is...
Good punch.
You said
up.
That like Jaw-rassic was shit and yours is incredible.
Fight, fight,
I'll be in
fight,
the parking lot
fight,
outside
fight,
later.
Fight,
yeah,
kiss, kiss, kiss.
My question is, if the sharks from Sharknado and the sharks from Deep Blue Sea had to fight, which one would win?
They wouldn't get in a fucking tornado in the first place.
Yeah, these are too smart.
Two-parter, though. Who would you want to be your shark killer? Ian Ziering or...
Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane.
Ooh, who would you want to save you?
I'm still going to take Michael Caine from Jaws 4.
That's a good one. You'll get something, too. You'll get a...
We've done a lot of sharks movies.
The God's original killing machine. Why wouldn't we?
All what right. are the stats on shark movies? Still just the one good one?
I think so.
In all of cinema history?
I think that's probably true, right?
You guys are really bringing the great questions. I'm going to go get one or two more. Here we go. All right. Here you go. Your name, your lead that you would like to see in this movie, and your question.
My name is Lydia. I would say Kevin Bacon is the lead.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good
yeah.
Job.
Yeah. My question is, did anyone else notice that Thomas Jane is doing this all as like a work release? Like he's on parole?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. An odd specific that pays off in no way whatsoever. Like he was just smuggling. So that doesn't even help.
Smuggling.
Like at the end, it wasn't like, oh yeah, this is what I used to do. Like the smuggler.
We never found out why he could ride sharks either.
Yeah.
And yet that's the first time he did it, I was like, I wonder if he'll do this again. Surprise, surprise, he does.
But why does he care? Like, when he swims to get the license plate out of the shark's mouth, like, who cares?
I agree 100% with that. That's a big, fat who cares.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we go. Your name, your title, and your question, go.
My name is Callie. My title is Sharkquatica.
Ooh, nice, different.
And my question is, was it doubling as a jet fuel storage facility? Because the explosions that happened there were like epic, like the sky. And they happened many, many times with giant fireballs every single time.
It was like one of those things like when you go to Universal Studios, like this is how we make movies. Yeah. Here's a giant wave and an explosion. Miami Vice stunt show, Waterworld Spectacular. It's like Waterworld Spectacular, really. Yeah.
But that Waterworld Spectacular is spectacular.
Oh, it's
actually pretty good.
That is fucking
incredible. Actually pretty good.
That's why it won Best Live Show.
No joke. Get made, brought to you by Waterworld Spectacular.
But if you watch that sequence again, no matter how dumb it is, one thing lights one thing that lights the next that hits the tank. They put a lot of pointless effort into that.
But they did do that thing where they turn the wheel that says fuel shut off. So where is the fuel coming from? All right, I think we got all the good questions. I feel like, all right, one more, and let's see, we'll make it worth it. Who's really confident in their questions? Wow, you're confident. All right,
he's so confident. He's
this guy's really confident.
Yeah.
He's really confident.
That's a real
guy, I want you have an out right now. I want you to really think about this.
Come on. I feel like you say that when you're having sex too. I'm confident.
I got this. Uh-oh, right. I'm sorry.
I lost my confidence.
I was wrong. I am so sorry.
All right, here we go.
I called you an Uber.
Because you're so confident, I'll let you choose if you want to do a title or a star of the movie. And you're, all right, so here we go. Your name, and you pick.
Okay. Name is Ryan. Title would be Birthday Chums.
Ooh. Birthday Chums.
Birthday what?
Birthday Chums, because chum is what you use to get in the water in
sure.
Saffron
Burroughs'
birthday.
Well internationally.
Is
that's
that
a
day.
Good title.
It's like I had the birthday for Saffron Burroughs.
It was her birthday?
Yeah.
At that birthday party?
Yo, on Netflix, this is under the category birthday movies.
Birthday Chums. I like Birthday Chums. All right, so far, so good. You're hitting it out of the park.
It's a twofer. My question is, why does it matter that it's her birthday?
That's a good question. I think in an attempt to make her likable, right?
I think so, too. I think it makes her seem human. I think there was a cut of the movie that didn't have that scene, and people thought she might be an alien.
Or sharks got so smart they turned into women.
I'm going to give you a How Did This Get Made sticker and a book about nachos. Okay.
I actually bet you they did that because they were just like, we need a party.
Yeah.
Well, they need that.
And what a party they provided.
They needed that kick-ass scene between LL Cool J and Sam Jackson where he talked about the avalanche. That's what happens in that scene.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but now it is time for a second opinion. These are five-star reviews. that are listed on Amazon.
On IMDb, it has 50% from critics and like 4.5 out of 5 from fans.
I believe me. Look, this is a classic film. Every one of these reviews, by the way, pretty much includes this phrase. Sorry, Jaws. They all slammed. Like, I don't mean to slam Jaws, but this is the best shark
movie. Yo, I saw Jaws 1.5 times, and I saw this 21, so I'm with these motherfuckers.
All right, so...
I feel sorry for you, Jaws.
Here is one right here. It goes, action movie, and it has LL Cool J? Enough said. This is a cool action movie, and the science is just a plus. 5 stars.
Hey, man, you want to go see that cool action movie? I don't know. There's science in it. I'm in.
This is from Richard R. Brown, a.k.a. The Deer Hunter. Says, sharks, all in caps, sharks and dinosaurs are my thing, and this is the best shark movie I have. I have watched it over and over again and over and over and again. It makes Jaws 1 through 4 look like guppy movies.
Whoa, too far, dear hunter.
How dare you use the G word?
Okay, and then this is another one that I really like here, from S Ranch 60.
A.K.A. Citizen Kane.
This is the best shark movie ever. Jaws is weak children's G-rated material compared to this vicious, raw, brutal, blood-soaked movie. These sharks are killers. Dude, great movie. The best way to watch this movie is on a big Sony Wega TV.
Oh.
When it's dark out. Yowza, bite me. 5 stars.
Wow.
And I need to like sign off more emails. Yowza, bite me.
Yeah.
Yowza, bite me, Jason.
And I'll read this one because it made no sense to me. This is from Jack V. Carlisle, electronics entrepreneur.
Hello, Jack V. Carlisle, electronics entrepreneur.
Oh, I'm just creating my Amazon profile to be able to write reviews.
Are you the person who makes economic decisions for the household?
This is the entire review. I read it a few times. Starts off with, but give him or her just a nibble, even though they want the whole steak. Swim for your life. Get out of the water. 5-star review.
Is that, Paul, is that a haiku?
It could, but give him slash her just a nibble, even though they want the whole steak. Swim for your life. Get out of the water. It's not a haiku.
It's not a haiku. Do you guys understand the first two lines? Because I do not.
No, I don't understand it.
Who's giving who a nipple for what?
I don't know if he's saying give the shark a nipple.
Wait, is this his nipple? This guy with the nip slip nipple? Is that what this is about?
Maybe it is. Maybe it should have been nipple.
What could the missing sentence be?
But it starts
I'm high
with,
on acid.
Yeah, because it starts with but. No one's arguing with you.
No,
Richard
B.
Carlisle, electronics entrepreneur.
95% of people writing reviews on Amazon think someone's arguing with them.
Right. They're coming from a defensive place.
I'll show
place.
You, Mary. Well, I did not care for this book.
Dude, yowza. Dude.
Well, we already know, I think, Evan, where you stand, which is you would watch this movie. You would recommend people
watch
this movie.
I will literally fight anyone in the alley who doesn't fucking respect this film. Uh-oh. This is the greatest movie. Everything I make is dog shit. Everything you guys make is dog shit compared to this. This is the greatest movie in the fucking world, and I will watch it 100 times before I die.
Paul, would you recommend this movie?
No.
Jason.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was like real, real stupid fun.
Yeah, I would recommend it as well. Now, we're going to do something. I don't know if this will work for the people at home, so you can opt to tune out. But I don't think.
But how about this? For the people at home, how about you go straight fuck yourself?
Yeah, great. Before we end the show, Evan brought this to my attention. I've never seen this video before. And I think
and you can guess how many times I've fucking seen it.
I think it's worth talking about the LL Cool J song and the video that accompanies it.
Are you going to play the whole video? You got to play the whole thing.
I've never seen it, right? Why not?
Yeah,
I
mean, I've never seen the video.
Okay, great.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I've heard
good.
The song, I've never
the
seen the video.
The ending is the best part. Don't leave before it ends.
All right, so we're going to talk about it. We're going to watch it. Here we go. And at home, sit back and listen and try
and
to.
Of course, the song title Deepest, Bluest, My Hat is Like a Shark.
My hat is like a shark, yeah. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Yeah, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin.
You know the words, rap along.
Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Man-made terror, 100 jaws of death.
They couldn't afford to remove the cable.
I caught you to sink down 40,000 leagues. Bleeding to death with no arms or short sleeves. A world's deep blue, killers gotta eat too. Looking for human flesh to rip my teeth through. Other fish in the sea, but barracudas ain't equal to a half-human predator created by a needle. Jet black eyes, baby, they stare while you sleep. A low tide tends
to sink, I'm the one you gonna meet. Here we turn into shark eyes.
They surround my team, all you see is trails of blood. Either God won't intervene. Nightmares of darkness, my appetite is heartless. Even if we related, you eliminated regardless. In the deep blue, underwater walls, half man, half shark, my jaws don't fall. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest
you wanna get up and dance, you can.
Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin.
This has all the different
ones. My hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kill us, water beast, swallow him in flames. They switch my DNA, flip me to Cool J. I can't fight the feeling of forced to kill. Pray to survive an attack, there's only one way. Battle to the death, that's how sharks play. Weapons left behind, we dueling with the mind. You blind, crippled, and crazy, you're real easy to find. Struggling to float with hemorrhages in your throat. Getting the lap dance when I smash through your boat. Eat your whole fam, nothing left with a right hand. Clinging to a rail, escape attempt fail. You never make it home, tear the flesh off your bone. Walking in undercurrents is a dangerous zone. I'm talking death out of moments notice. You wasn't focused, me and my crew. Strike like some underwater locusts. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin.
It also reveals like tons of
my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. Take it deeper, take it deeper, take it deeper, the water's at waist level, the hallway's flooded. Launch the scuba gear, the killer's cold-blooded.
He literally sang the whole plot of the film, I think.
You don't really want it, I hate your ancestors. The ocean is haunted, I'm closing in cause I'm supposed to win. I coast to your feel when it froze your shit.
Yeah, no
just stay on dry land, stroke while you can. Cause now you under pressure in the land of the damned. Abandoned pirate ships, eels the side scum. Fish that glow in the dark, the tide.
I so badly wish the shark started to dance.
Storms, your blood is so warm, your life vest is on. And that turns me on. Killing for centuries, the goddy of the deep. In the next millennium, I'm still gonna creep. Sand under my belly.
Paul, what would you have played in the fake orchestra on this music?
That's a real orchestra.
You know, they can just actors that have instruments thrust into their hands. That's the first underwater rap. Watch this.
Amazing! LL Cool J has turned into a shark.
Double platinum Warner Brothers record hit.
It is a great. Hey, look at him, shark.
Oh, you see this guy? This guy's a little creepy.
Michael Rapaport gets a little.
Gotta end it with Scoggins.
The music video does give you most of the movie in like a real quick digestible format.
Yeah. It really does spoil a majority of the movie.
But not in order.
No.
I think they deduced they were going to make more money off the shark fin song than the movie and just like threw it all in there.
Why say the ocean is haunted? That's not a part of the movie at all.
You don't think that there's tons of ocean creatures with unfinished business?
By the way.
It's just like, there's just spectral fish.
Yeah,
just if there's hanging ghost people, around. Man. Like,
by the way, that would be a great sequel. Deep Blue Sea, and it's all the ghost sharks.
Yeah.
And that they, you know, it's like they're trying to build, you know, Aquatica again, and the ghost sharks are, and you can't kill ghost sharks. They're already dead.
You can't.
And but then you can bring back every character from this one. How do you get a ghost shark with a ghost?
They just always are living in this cycle of just being chased. Their spirits are just chasing each other for eternity. Yeah,
they are. It's like they are being punished, like Sisyphus. They are just, or whatever. They're just in a constant battle with these sharks.
Oh my God, that video is amazing. Now, Paul, you have very exciting news, right? Because
yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. Coming April 1st.
Coming April 1st, I'm going to have a new podcast on Earwolf.
Ooh, very exciting.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about it? I know it's a kind of a top secret thing, but what can you tell us about it?
It is called, I don't know why that it's top secret, but it's called Spontanea Nation. It is improv based. It's everything as I'm doing things differently than the way I usually do them, which is tons and tons of production that causes me great stress and anguish. And this is something that's all completely in the moment. There's I improvise a monologue, and then I'll have a guest that we do a free-form interview, and then me and some improvisers do a long-form narrative improv, just tell one story over the course of the second half of the show.
Do you write the story at all?
It's completely written out.
Okay. Is there like a theme that guides you?
No, we get a question from the previous guest, mm-hmm. that starts off the interview, and then the guest on that episode will give us a location, and that's all we have to go on, and then we go from there.
That's awesome. So the whole thing improvised.
I'm going to stop watching improvised. This one and just go straight
to that
one.
Really. That sounds amazing. So April 1st, that comes out on Earwolf, and you know how to figure that out. If you're listening to this, you can figure that out. Evan, what do you want to plug anything?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I'm making Neighbors 2.
All right, that's exciting. Woo! Very exciting.
Unless you didn't like Neighbors 1. But just
all right,
working
great.
On that.
And you can follow you on Twitter, right?
You can. There was a thing with North Korea,
I kind of backed
off Twitter for a little. Just going to kind of cool it on the social media and generally going outside for a few more months.
All right, Jason, what do you want to plug?
I don't know.
You might be in Neighbors 2, so plug it.
Oh, yeah, Neighbors 2. Dr. Theodorakis will, I'm sure, make another appearance. This podcast?
All right, great, yeah.
This one? So if you've made it to the end of this podcast, I would like to plug it again. Go back and listen to this episode of this podcast.
It's already out at the time you're listening to this.
Oh, yeah. So it's a veil.
Yeah, you could definitely get it. And you're in it. You're definitely in
it. I don't know if I'm still in the episode.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And of course, follow me on Twitter.
Don't follow Jason on Twitter. Not on Twitter. I will plug Fresh Off the Boat, a show that I'm doing right now on ABC. Fun show.
I do have a plug.
Yeah.
I do have a plug. I did an episode of Community that's going to come on Yahoo.
Oh, great. I want to give a big shout out to all the people that help us with this show. Of course, Nate Kiley, Avril Halley, July Diaz, and our new theme song creator, Cleve Speet, and Haru. I don't know if I pronounced that at all correctly.
Probably not.
Thank you guys for coming. See you next time.
Thank you.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf's dead.
Hi, I'm Nick Vatterott.
And I'm Nick Turner.
And we are the hosts of Get Rich Nick.
For this podcast, we are out there in the world trying every get rich quick scheme to tell you guys which ones actually work and which ones aren't worth your time. Like donating plasma.
Online poker.
TaskRabbit.
Writing ebooks.
Betting on the ponies.
Going on eBay.
Background extra.
Making money from metal detectors.
Lemonade stand.
Selling fruit in the backyard.
Trivia nights.
Selling fruit from the backyard.
We're walking dogs on Rover.
We're playing video games for cash.
We're starting a Patreon way too early.
Betting how much you walk.
losing weight.
We're hijacking a truck going southbound to Tijuana, and no one's going anywhere until we get what we want.
If you are intrigued by any of that, thank you.
You can tell which ones are not worth your time because we're still doing the podcast. If we were rich, we'd be on a yacht somewhere on a rainbow.
Get Rich Nick is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.